Okay, tonight I'd like to give a word that has been on my heart for the past week. As I talk to people, I see so many times that there is something that they've been praying for, there's something they've been hoping for, there's something that they are expecting, but it hasn't happened. Sometimes we just go through a dark night before we see the light of the morning. Philippians 4:6 in the Living Bible translation says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers." You know, it sounds so easy. We just insert a prayer, we collect the blessings, life is good. Nothing ever gets hard, right? No. If there's somebody that says that that's right, you're either being very sarcastic or you've had a much more blessed life than I have. Because I'll tell you, God will put us through challenges. He will put us through situations. So what happens when things do go wrong? Is it possibly God ignoring us or God punishing us? Or is there something else that might be happening? There is a well-known doctor. Name was Dr. Brian Melcher. And he did a tremendous amount of research on cancer, specifically lymphatic cancer. And he was recognized because of the number of lives that he had saved, the tremendously good things that he had done for people around them, the families that had not seen tragedy that they would otherwise have seen had he not come up with these treatment plans. So he was devoted to God, and he was devoted to serving others. Now, how many here does that describe? I could point out a whole bunch of fingers and say that, you know what, that's exactly the type of person that this individual is. Well, he was on his way to a medical conference, and he was going to receive a very prestigious award for that, and he was also going to get a grant to help further the research that he was doing. So he was very excited, and he wanted to reach that conference just as soon as possible. In Romans 13:7, it says, "Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed." That's one of the things that Pastor and I talk about quite a bit is, you know, maybe I'm an anachronism. I was born in the wrong time. I don't believe that now. I used to believe that. You know, I was born for a time such as this. But honor and respect are something that we tend to have lost a lot of credence for in our society. And we need to bring that back. People of God, we need to be reflective of the nature of God. And God loves and embraces each and every one of us. So Dr. Melcher was a man who was very much worthy of honor. He had saved many, many lives. So he had boarded a plane, and he was getting ready to fly down to the city where he was going to receive the award. But 2.5 hours after the plane had taken off, the pilot announced, "Hey, we've got a problem with engine number one. I'm going to have to make an emergency landing." So they got to the nearest airport. They put the emergency crews out on the tarmac just in case something happened that nobody wanted to happen. And immediately, Dr. Melcher started praying, not for himself, but praying for the lives and the safety of the passengers and the pilot. So the plane did land, and it landed safely. But because of this, he was now concerned because he didn't have a whole lot of time. I mean, you can imagine this is a busy man, so he didn't have a lot of leeway that was built into his schedule. So being concerned that he was not going to get to the conference on time, he went to the airline desk. Talked to the woman about, okay, when is the next available flight? Sir, we won't have another flight down there for 10 hours. 10 hours? That's not going to work. What can I do? Well, sir, the city is only like about a 3-hour drive away. You might consider going and renting a car and just driving down there if you really need to get there right away. Well, he rented a car because he really didn't have any other choice. What was he going to do? Just wait? You know, expect that God was going to send a rainbow that turned into an escalator that just got him over to the city that he was going to? You know, it's possible, but not very likely. God generally works within the scope of his own creation by the rules that he himself has established. So he rented a pretty nice car, you know, because God had richly blessed him. Money was not really that big of an issue for him, and he anticipated that he would have a pleasant, although very inconvenient, drive that was going down there. But he did know he was going to have to drive pretty fast. So he uttered a quick prayer, "Lord, please don't let there be any highway patrol around. I got to make it quick. Please make open the way for me, Lord. No mechanical problems, no traffic. Just open the way for me, Lord, that I can get to this conference." As he looked around, as he was getting into the car and driving off, getting onto the proper entrance ramp to the highway he was going to take, noticed that the sky was starting to get kind of cloudy. As he drove, the clouds had gathered in pretty thick and pretty dark. Rain started coming down. Not rain like we see in California, but rain like they see in back east, where you turn the wipers on and you can't tell if the wipers are on or off because there's more rain coming in than the wipers can possibly get off of the windshield. He couldn't see very well because there were flashes of lightning that would just destroy his vision as it was starting to get dim, as it was nearing darkness. Thunderclaps rang in his ears to the point that it just hurt. The thunder was so loud. Now, this was before cell phone navigation with, "Hey, Google, get me to my destination." So he didn't have that. He did have a paper map, but he had stopped earlier, and it had already started raining, so the map now was all covered with water spots and smeared, and it was very hard for him to see it. And he wound up taking a wrong turn. Didn't realize it. A couple of hours afterwards, he realized it. This is not anywhere close to where I'm supposed to be. And he knew now at this point in time, he's lost. He's in a heavy downpour. He's on a dark, deserted road by himself. He's tired. He's hungry. Didn't think about getting anything to eat. There's sure no Burger Kings or McDonald's along the way. He was frustrated. He was disappointed. He was getting worried as well, trying to find some sign of civilization, and all he saw was dark road. Not even street lamps alongside of it. And the steady rain, the downpour on the roof of the car, the lightning flashes, the thunderclaps. "God, this isn't what I expected." So his mood went from being pretty happy that he was going to get this prestigious award to being quite foul mood, bitter at things. "Gosh, I wish I'd never even come on this trip. If I had known this, I would have stayed home. Home was a whole lot better." That sound like anybody you know? Because I remember the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You know, they had been promised that they were going to be removed from slavery. They were going to be given a land of promise flowing with milk and honey. And now, they're at the edge of a sea. They can't go any further, and they've got a bunch of Egyptians bearing down their back. They didn't have the Old Testament at that time to be able to read ahead in the story and see what happened. They just knew there's a whole bunch of chariots coming our way. Oh, man, it was so much better so much better. We had cucumbers, we had garlic, we had all kinds of things to eat. Oh man, you know, Moses, why did you bring us out this way? Why don't you take us back to Egypt? That's where we want to be. And that was the attitude that Dr. Melcher was getting. Have you ever stepped out in faith and then things went bad, not according to your expectations? You know, all of us as humans, we tend to pray, Lord, not thy will, but my will be done. Let me tell you how this should lie out. But God has a different plan with a different reason. Eventually, he came across a rundown house. It was pretty dark, but there was a flickering light in one window. So I figured, well, there's nothing else out here. I may as well give it a shot and see what happens. So very desperate, he got out of the car. Immediately, he was just completely soaked. You know, he had on a pretty nice suit. This suit didn't look so nice now. This suit looked pretty soggy. When he went to the door, knock, 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 knock. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Be right there. And there's this small, frail lady who comes to the door and opens it, looks out, has this beautiful smile on her face. So the doctor said, hey, you know, I'm lost out here. I really, really need some help. I hate to impose upon you, but do you think I might be able to use your telephone so that I can call this conference that I'm going to and let them know that I'm not going to be able to be there on time tonight, and maybe they can stall until I get there? And she said, oh, well, honey, just come right on in. But with the storm, the electricity's out, and the phone isn't working. So, checking his watch. God, why? Have I not served you well? So she welcomed Dr. Melcher in so he could rest in a more comfortable chair than being even in a comfortable car after that length of time and that type of storm that you're going through, that really wears on a person. And even though there was no electricity, there was a nice warm fire that was going. So even in the storm, this little humble house was very inviting and warm. So the woman offered him food, offered food and hot tea for him. So he was hungry, exhausted, feeling hopeless. But the question was, do I stay out in the stormy road, or do I go in to a warm, humble house? So the woman prepared the meal and served him. Then she excused herself to go into the next room. So the doctor is eating the food. He's sitting at the table, and he can see the silhouette of the woman in the next room. The light flickering from the fireplace, a warm glow of candlelight, and she was praying next to a small crib. And she would pray, and then pray, and then pray. She would finish one prayer and start another. Well, this tore at Dr. Melcher's heart, because again, he was a Christian man, he loved to help people. And he thought that she might need some help. Maybe he could do something. You know, he looked around at the meager furnishings that she had in her house and thought, well, you know, maybe it's a money thing. And money's not a problem to me. If she needs some money, I mean, she was kind to me. I'll give her whatever she needs. So he spoke to her as soon as she finished her current prayer and asked, is there something I can do to help? Well, the woman smiled at him very meekly and said, you know, I pray all the time. The Bible tells me to pray without ceasing, and this is what I do. And God has answered all of my prayers, except one. And I don't know why He hasn't answered that one specific prayer. Maybe it's because I don't have enough faith? You ever asked yourself that question? You know, how much faith is enough? Well, Jesus said if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all it takes. And it also says that God gives to each one of us a measure of faith. If you have faith, the amount of faith you have is more than sufficient. So the doctor asked, well, do you mind if I ask what you've been praying for? And she said, I pray for hope. That's what I want. I just pray for hope. This child is my grandson. I've taken care of him since birth because his mother didn't want him. She ran off with this other guy and left the baby here, not at my doorstep, but in my front door. So I've cared for this child as if he's my own, because he is my own. But he also has a very rare form of lymphatic cancer. None of the doctors that I've been able to get him to have been able to do anything for him. They tell me that without some miracle that takes place, this child will not live to see his second birthday. But I read that there's a doctor that's able to treat him. I read about the doctor that specializes in this new effective treatment, but there's no way for me to get to that doctor. He's too far away, and I don't have the money. I mean, look around. I'm not a rich woman. So since I couldn't reach the doctor, I spend my days and nights praying. God, help me find a way to this doctor so that he could treat my dying grandson. He looked at the woman in almost disbelief. He immediately realized what God had done. Her prayer had been answered through his hardship. Tears began to flow down both of his cheeks. I am that doctor, he said. The woman joined him in tears of joy. Dr. Melcher was elated with the chance to save a small life. That's a far greater blessing than any award could possibly be. Amen? We may weep through the night, but at daybreak it will turn into shouts of ecstatic joy. That's the promise that we have in Scripture. Whenever I was a kid, you know, some of you who have had a few revolutions around the sun probably remember the old plaster cast that used to be so, you know, that was so popular. People would make a cast out of plaster and then they would paint it, they would hang it up. I had one of those that my praying grandmother had put on my wall as a child. It had the praying hands, and it had a quote on it from Alfred Lord Tennyson, who wrote Mort d'Arthur, which was the death of Arthur, the death of King Arthur. And it said that more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And I don't think there is a truer statement than that. It is absolutely astonishingly amazing what prayer has done in the lives of God's children. Remember, God's thoughts and God's ways are not our thoughts and ways. So He may answer in a very unexpected way. As I said before, what we need to always be conscious of is, yes, Lord, thy will be done. You know, as Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, oh, Lord, this cup, please let it pass from me, if at all possible. But if not, Lord, nevertheless, your will, not my will, be done. The Jews expected that Jesus was going to be an earthly king. But instead, Jesus came and became a lowly servant who washed the feet of his apostles. But he became the King of glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Joseph eventually became the second ruler in Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh, but he was sold into slavery and spent time in prison before he got there. King David was destined to be the king, the greatest king of Israel, but he had to hide in a cave for years before he was able to get into that position. When we read our Bible, remember, it's not a storybook, it's a glory book. And it is all about God's glory. God will bring miraculous things to pass. Lazarus got to live again, but it wasn't because of Lazarus that God did it. It was because of God's glory that God did it. And it's always for his glory. God is greater than any circumstance. He's greater than a broken plane, a violent storm, being lost on a dark road, a power outage, downed power lines. All of these led to a guided meeting for God's glory. So he may answer in an unexpected way, but it's always for our good and for his glory. That is what is so wonderful about it, is they run parallel. God does it for his glory, but we reap the benefit. What a wonderful, wonderful partnership that is. What a wonderful covenant that is. God does not always change circumstances. Very often, he allows circumstances to change us. One of the more uncomfortable prayers that I have prayed, and I do not regret it, thank you, Lord, but, Lord, let me be a sword in your kingdom. Well, if you're going to be a sword, guess what? You get put into the fire and you get beaten on the anvil. You get quenched. You get shaped. You get sharpened. And not that I've made it, but as Joyce Meyer says, you know, I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And that's what all of us are. You know, I've said many, many times, please do not ever consider yourself a human being, because you shouldn't be. A human being is static. You are a human becoming. The Word says, behold, we are a new creation. We take off the old, we put on the new. Is there evolution? Yeah, maybe not the way science talks about it, but there is evolution in the Christian heart. We keep putting off that old man, that old woman, putting on the new man, the new woman, and we become formed closer and closer into the image of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So, think about this question as we start to pray here in a few moments. What storm may be God's next blessing? What pain tonight becomes joy tomorrow? You know, as I've counseled people, I've said many, many times that, you know, we've got a promise in Scripture that says we will come through it. Well, the implication is if we're going to come through it, we're going to go through it. If we are more than a conqueror, it means there's something we have to fight against to conquer. If we are above and not beneath, then guess what? We had to climb up. God helps us. God lifts us up. But God also will not go against our free will. So we have to have a partnership with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is working on us, making us better, making us more in that image of Jesus, we have to be willing. God gives us the ability. We just have to supply the willingness that, yes, Lord, thy will, not my will, be done. So I've got a little handout. If I could get our ushers, please, if we could give these little cards out. There is a verse that I know everybody knows, but I really like the way that is that it's rendered in the Amplified. And in the Amplified, it says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose." So how many things is he going to cause to work together? All things. And is it going to be good or evil? It's going to be good for those who love God. Now, how many here love God? I don't think you would be here if you didn't, would you? Are you called according to his purpose? Well, nobody comes to the Father unless they come through Jesus, and nobody comes to Jesus unless they're called by the Father. So if you have a relationship with Jesus and you are here, you are called and you love God. So guess what? This promise is for you specifically. There's a quote by Charles Spurgeon on the next slide that says, "If you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear you. If you do not expect, you will not have." God will not hear you unless you believe he will hear you. But if you believe he will be as good as your faith. What a promise. There's a verse in the New Testament that says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Let's all please God by having faith in the promises that he has given us. Because God always answers every prayer. There is not a single prayer that he does not answer, but he gives one of three answers: yes, no, not yet. And sometimes that "not yet" is the very most difficult one for us to hear. So believe your prayers. Have amazing faith. Beyond doubt, all things work together. So shed tonight's tears, but anticipate tomorrow's joy. It ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over. If we've got breath, as the saying says, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Everything is subject to change. And I'll tell you, you know, sometimes what happens is we get caught up in the facts instead of in the truth. Facts are subject to change. Storms may brew, but God comes through each and every time. You may cry tonight, but it's all right. God's love will flow from above. God's grace will speed your race. God's power will arrive at the proper hour. God's glory will fill your story. So, people of God, it ain't over. God's working all things together for your good. So pray with power, pray for authority, pray what the Word says, pray the promises. We have a covenant. That covenant means that we have legal rights. We can remind God that says, "Your Word says." And he doesn't mind that at all. He encourages us to do that. So pray with power because it ain't over. Oh, yeah, it is. Now I'm done. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Let's put on some prayer music and take a little bit of time to spend with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and just bring adoration, confession, thankfulness, and to give our petitions in Jesus' name. God bless each and every one of you. May God be gracious to you. May He turn His face upon you. May His countenance shine upon you. May He just shower you with love and mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.